D-Mace Finnegan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Derek Mason, Adam Finnegan here with you. Willie Donick out the next couple of days. He's at his daughter's college graduation.
Congrats.
Congratulations. I combine the words congratulations and graduation to
congratulations.
Gradulations, I suppose.
That could be a new word.
Yeah, it might be.
Gradulations.
Patent pending, patent pending, patent pending. So yesterday on our program, we carried Barry Trotz's season-ending news conference live. And we did not expect it to go more than an hour. But that's what it did. And yesterday, Barry Trotz, the most newsworthy item, was that he announced that Andrew Brunette will return as Predators' coach next season, I should say, despite the team's 30th place finish in the NHL standings. And that, of course, did not help them get the number one pick in the NHL draft lottery. They picked fifth next month at the NHL draft, which was the worst case scenario for the Predators, but we touched on that already. First, I want to play Barry Trotz's, part of Barry Trotz's opening statement, where he explains the reason why he is retaining Andrew Brunette. This was Barry Trotz yesterday.
Andrew Brunette, to me, is a good young coach. That's why I hired him. He's a good young coach. Had a tough situation this year in terms of our team, maybe our makeup, how we came together or didn't come together. Right at the start of the year, and he needs to add a lot of tools to his tool belt. I think I was that guy. I was Andrew Brunette way back when. In terms of, I thought I had a lot of tools in my tool belt. And you find out you have to add a couple more. I think he did add some during the year. I think he's going to add some at the World Championships this year. He's part of the Canadian staff. Good young people, when you believe in them, just like a good young player, you stick with them. And Andrew Brunette is just like a young player. We could have did the easy thing. Make a change and see if we can get a bump up, whatever. I didn't do that. I believe in developing people. I believe he's a good young coach. He's a good young hockey mind. And Andrew's going to work hard to find a solution. He's a solution-based guy, as well as myself. We'll find that solution. And they've met with the players, the leadership group, and he will continue to do that. He'll make adjustments in terms of, everybody asks, is it the right system, all that. We've looked at everybody's system. We looked at the trends. The staff has given me a outline of every team, of what everybody's doing. I watch on my own. I watch lately as a scout because we're getting into the draft. I also watch what's working in the playoffs for the teams that are there, and there's some good teams. So there will be changes. They will make those adjustments. That's what a good young hockey mind does, and Andrew will do that.
So that was Barry Trotz explaining his decision to bring back Andrew Brunette. And I admire Trotz's resoluteness, because there is a certain word that starts with C that I can't use because it's been banned on the program.
Can you?
So I admire his resoluteness. And the one takeaway that I came away with from the news conference yesterday, Derek, is that Barry Trotz's decision to retain Andrew Brunette is a major inflection point in his tenure as Predators general manager. Barry Trotz is going to be judged on a lot of things, but this decision is at the top of that list right now. Barry Trotz believes in Andrew Brunette. He compared him to a young player who is still developing, and that you don't give up on a young player if you believe in that young player. He believes that Andrew Brunette is a good young coach who will learn from this season and be better because of it. And Barry Trotz, bluntly, better be right about that. Because if this does not work, especially if it does not work immediately, if the Predators get off to a similar start to the one they had this season, they started 0-5. If that happens, it's going to reflect poorly on Burnett, but it's also going to reflect poorly on Barry Trotz. And if Barry Trotz has to make the hard decision and move on from Andrew Burnett if things don't go well at one point next season, it's going to be an admission of failure by Barry Trotz. And there were multiple questions yesterday looking to pin down Barry Trotz on how long are you going to give Andrew Burnett at the start of next season to show that he's doing the right things, making the necessary adjustments, all of those things. And Barry would not give a specific number or length of time. But my point is this. Again, Barry Trotz's decision to retain Andrew Burnett as Predators head coach is a major inflection point in his tenure as Predators GM. I know a lot of Predators fans were upset by the decision yesterday. It's understandable. But we'll see what happens. But for Barry Trotz's sake, he better be right about this.
Listen, this is a decision, I believe. And I'm not going to say this. I'm not going to be hyperbolic about it. So I'm not going to say in regards to the organization. But he's in serious jeopardy of draining all that he's built up with the fan base. He is. I'm not saying that, you know, that's the same for the organization. No, I think the organization is going to give him time to truly, you know, do what he wants to do as a GM. And listen, he made some good moves. They just hadn't worked out. Yeah, I don't know, you know. I don't know anybody that scoffed at those moves when he made them in the offseason. You know, it just didn't work out last season. But make no mistake, because we talked a little bit about this year, how long will it take before the fan base start to turn sour on Barry Trotz? So, again, it's not with the organization, at least I don't believe. I'm not going to be that, you know, hyperbolic about it. But I think for the fan base, I think it is. If this doesn't work out, if it start off on a bad note like it did last year, you are draining, you know, all that you've built up with this fan base. And I'm not saying it's just this is a huge hole in the bottom of the bucket. No, but there's starting to be some cracks and there's starting to be some leakage now. So, what was that? Goodness,
that was on me. My bad.
I don't worry about it. So, with that now. Here's the other thing. I know Barry, you may trust him. You may trust Coach Bruno. Good. But if those guys in the locker room doesn't trust him, it doesn't mean anything. You know, so whatever he heard, coupled to what he was thinking as a GM, caused him to bring back, you know, Coach Bruno. Maybe, and he said, I talked to guys several times, not just once. I've talked to guys, and we know who he was probably more than likely talking about. Marchessault, guys like that. Talked to them more than once because he wanted to make sure that, okay, I know what I want to do, but let me go back to them. Let me talk to them now that they've cooled off a little bit. And let me see where they're at. And it may have changed with those guys. So that may have further, you know, cemented what he was thinking as far as keeping Coach Bruno. But again, make no mistake. From a fan base standpoint, if they get off on the same start they did last year, man, you're going to see a bunch of fans howling and screaming.
One thing that I also took away from Barry Trotz's news conference yesterday, and I said this yesterday as we were reacting to it right after it ended. One thing that Predators fans love about Barry Trotz, one thing that reporters and media types love about Barry Trotz is that Barry Trotz has never met a microphone that he did not like. And I appreciate that Barry Trotz is willing to talk and share details that most GMs and most coaches would not share. I appreciate that about Barry Trotz. But I thought he did himself a disservice yesterday with his opening statement. We were joking about it yesterday. How long had he been talking? I think his opening statement, David came in here, said it was 27 minutes. So let's round it up to 30. It was roughly half an hour of Barry Trotz talking before he took questions. And my assumption is that Barry Trotz went into that thinking to himself, I am going to explain everything that you all are going to ask me about right off the top. But it reminded me of a term that I've heard in the political realm. It's called flooding the zone, where you share so much that it's hard for people to keep up with everything that you're saying, that it's hard to focus in on one thing. And I think that his opening statement was so meandering that his message got muddled. It wasn't clear exactly what he was talking about. He was moving in so many different directions, talking about five-on-five play and the rookies who made their NHL debuts and the composition of the dressing room. And then he finally got to Andrew Burnett. So I think Barry Trotz, again, I appreciate Barry Trotz. A lot of people in this town, whether you're a reporter or a Predators fan, have gotten to know Barry Trotz, and you like Barry Trotz. And the reason why you like Barry Trotz so much is because he's so affable, because he's easy to have a conversation with. But I do think that he did himself, again, a disservice yesterday by not coming to the podium with bullet points. And basically saying, succinctly, here's what went wrong. Here's how we're going to try to fix it. Here's what where I stand on Andrew Burnett. Now I will take your questions. I think that he tried to shove so many things into that opening statement that fans who were listening were thinking, what is he talking about?
He tried to explain everything. He tried to anticipate whatever question that was going to be asked. So he wanted to answer all of those questions. We even kid, we were laughing, you know, last break about him, you know, after it was done, he was like, all right, we're done. Like, no, Barry, you still got a lot more questions to ask me answer. I know you felt that you answered every question that someone could have possibly answered, but no, asked you, but no. They still have their questions. So that told me that, one, listen, we laugh at it, and I think it's funny at times, but Barry, I think he's a talker. He loves telling stories, and he's telling a story of his team. We talked about this yesterday. He's telling a story of his team, why it went the way it went. And when you're telling a story, sometimes you may get off track, and you may start talking about these – you know, sort of side things within the story, and people start to lose you a little bit, but you're trying to tie it all back because you know in your mind it means something in the big picture of what you're talking about. But like you said, people are like, you're just talking about this. Now you're like, Barry, we can't keep up with you. I don't think he's doing, maybe he is, I don't know, but I don't think he's doing it on purpose. I just think he's telling the story of his team and trying to answer every question that you would possibly have.
It reminded me, and if Chase is listening, I know he's going to think this is funny. It reminded me of a classic Simpsons bit with Grandpa Simpson. He was talking about telling people stories that don't go anywhere. So he was talking about how I needed a new heel for my shoe, so I decided to go to Morganville, which is what they called Shelbyville in those days. So I tied an onion to my belt, which was the style at the time. Now, to take the ferry cost a nickel, and in those days, nickels had pictures of bumblebees on them, and the story's not going anywhere. And that's what I thought yesterday as I was listening to Barry Trotz. I was like, he's just telling us something. Where is this going? And I say this again respectfully, because I respect Barry Trotz. I've gotten to know Barry Trotz over the years. I think he's a great man. I think he's a great representative of the game of hockey and this city specifically. But I just thought it was just all over the place. He would have benefited yesterday from having clear, concise talking points. I also don't think he should have taken 20 minutes into his opening statement to address Andrew Burnett, because that's what everybody was there to hear. Mm-hmm. Are you firing the coach or not? So ultimately, I just think that this decision to retain Barry Trotz is ultimately what a lot of people are going to judge Barry Trotz on. So I hope he's right for his sake. One texter says Barry Trotz will let Brunette learn on the job at our expense and will eventually win with another franchise. We don't need to be that. We need someone who can deliver results now. And I will say that as it took longer and longer for us to hear from Barry Trotz, the idea of maybe he's reconsidering creeped into my mind. And we talked about all of the highly qualified coaches mm-hmm. who were available. And there are still some highly qualified coaches who are available. But Barry Trotz decided to stick with Andrew Brunette. And I think the perception of Trotz's performance as GM from the fans is going to be based on a lot of things. But primarily, this decision. 615-737-1025. Your thoughts on the Predators' decision to retain Andrew Brunette as coach. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, you heard in that clip we played earlier in the segment that Barry Trotz said that Andrew Brunette needs to add a lot of tools to his tool belt. What are those tools? We'll discuss that coming up next. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Well, I think just, any time that you make adjustments, making sure that you get to the accountability factor right through your roster. You know, it doesn't matter in terms of a player who's played 600 games or a player who played six. There should be the accountability factor. Obviously, the guys that have long NHL careers or been in the league a long time have a longer rope. But in terms of the respect for all those guys, that has to be the same. I know that it's key with Andrew. But just making sure that we're all playing the right way all the time. And I didn't think we did enough of it. And that's an area where, like I said, sometimes we're all too nice. And I can be a nice guy, John, as you know. But I can also be I know when I don't have to be a nice guy. And I don't have any problem with that.
That was Barry Trotz yesterday, asked about the tools that Andrew Brunette needs to add to his tool belt, which is what he said in the opening statement. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you, presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Before I get to my next point, one texter disagrees with my assertion. Lorne says sticking with Brunette shouldn't be a major inflection point. Worst case scenario is this team still sucks and we tank again as we should have been doing this season and next anyway. The signing of the free agents last year went away from the tank, but it ended up not killing the tank. And since the cap is jumping so much, these players will be trade assets if the team continues to tank and it didn't cost us any players or picks, which is true. I understand that. That signing Stamkos and Marchessault and Shea, all it cost the Predators was money. It did not cost them any draft assets, any players on their roster, any prospects. I get that. My point is that I think a lot of Predators fans are not going to trust Barry Trotz's judgment if Brunette comes back, which he is, when Brunette comes back and this team continues to struggle. I think it's going to put a dent in the trust that Predators fans have in Barry Trotz's judgment if the decision to retain Brunette does not work. But when it comes to the accountability factor, I'm glad that Barry Trotz brought that up because that was something that ticked me off early in the season, that I thought that Andrew Brunette was not holding his top players accountable. And I singled out Jonathan Marchessault because he got off to a terrible start this season. I believe it took him 20 games to record his first 5-on-5 point as a member of the team. It took him that long. I think we were in mid to late November by the time he had a 5-on-5 point. Mm-hmm. And I remember early in the season, Marchessault doing things in games that actively hurt the team. And I went back and looked at it this morning. December 5th, the Predators were in Montreal playing the Canadiens. I believe it was the first period of the game. The score was 0-0. The Predators were on the power play. And I think Steven Stamkos fired a one-timer that was blocked in front, so it didn't hit the net. And Marchessault was on the right side of the ice. He chased down the puck and threw this blind backhand pass that was intercepted by the Canadiens, who took the puck the other way for an odd man rush and scored a goal. It was clearly on Jonathan Marchessault. He had a turnover on the power play that led directly to a goal against. And guess what? He still ended up playing at about 20 minutes in the game. His ice time was not docked for making that mistake. I remember another game. I believe it was in Calgary. It was the end of the game. The Predators were down, I think, by a goal. Marchessault has the puck in neutral ice and hands the puck right to a Calgary Flames player who just says, gee, thanks, and shoots the puck at the open net, and the Flames win the game. And again, Marchessault, at least outwardly, did not suffer any consequences for making a play that helped cost the team the game. And that bothered me early in the season. So if Barry Trotz is telling Andrew Burnett, you can't be so nice anymore. You need to be a little mean, like the guy from Dodgeball, Patches O'Houlihan. Yeah. You got to get angry. You got to get mean. Like if that is what Barry Trotz is saying to Andrew Brunette, I'm all for it, because I did think that Brunette, at least again, outwardly, I'm not in the meeting rooms. I'm not in the dressing room. I'm not around the team every day like I used to be. So I don't know if Brunette had a hard conversation with Jonathan Marchessault. But in terms of ice time, which is how players get punished, I did not see any repercussions for those plays. So if Trotz is saying, hey, Brunette, Andrew, he's not going to call him Brunette, Bruno, you got to get mean, I'm fine with that.
It's okay. Here's the thing. It may be, hockey and football is a little different in regards to their coaches coming in. And maybe it could be exactly the same. I see some similarities in most sports. There are a lot, probably more similarities than not there in hockey. But when a football coach comes in, and I've been through this, let me see, one, two, twice.
You're talking about new coaches?
New coaches, new system, everything else. I've been through it in college when Nick Saban came in, and I went through it in Baltimore when Brian Billick got fired and then Harbaugh came in.
Yeah.
Head coaches, when they come in, there's a certain tone they want to set. It's almost in sense they're being, you know what, a-holes, basically. Can I say that? I think I can.
You can say a-hole. I think that's
a-hole,
fine.
Yeah, I'm sorry, young kids, but I'm just trying to explain this. You can be an a-hole, okay? And guys are starting to sort of fall in, and some will fall to the wayside, but the core of your team is starting to develop. And then you can kind of sort of back off from there. But it's hard to go in being a nice guy and then all of a sudden you got to, you got to lay at foot or something. You know, you got to put it down. It's hard to do it the second go around. He should have came in with the mentality of, you know what, I got to push these guys. And I'm not saying, I don't want to give the illusion that he didn't. He probably did. But the way it seems, there were some guys, one guy in particular, where they were not on the same page. And it started very early with a few guys, really. Stamkos. No, it was Marchessault. Not Marchessault. It was Marchessault and Brady Shea. Brady Shea wasn't playing well. And what were we saying? Somebody needs to sit because they're not playing well. I think it was Brady Shea at the time.
Yeah. But my point was that I remember we talked about this with Elliot Freeman early in the season. My question to Elliot was, does Andrew Brunette need to make an example?
Exactly.
Out of one of these veteran players by sitting them for a game. And Elliot's response was, if I recall correctly, because it's been several months, was you signed those players to help you win. So does scratching Brady Shea for a game example, does that give you a better chance of winning? Well, based on the way he was playing, maybe it did. But I think, go ahead.
But when you do something like that, and you, not necessarily, listen, you're not going to bench him, but you move him. Take away some, and that's what we talked about, take away some of his
right,
minutes.
And look, there are a lot of you out there that did not love the John Hines experience when he was head coach of the Predators, but there's one thing that John Hines did early on. He made it clear that if you aren't playing the way that we need to play, you will not play.
Boom.
There were games where Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene and Philip Forsberg and Victor Arvidsson were on the bench for long stretches of time because they were not playing the way that John Hines wanted them to play.
And Hines, what did he do? He took away their minutes early. early. He had to show these guys, I'm the coach. There's a certain level of play that I want, and y'all are not giving it to me. I can't bench you, but what I can do is take away some of your minutes. You probably hate that worse than anything because you're playing, but then you're not playing for long stretches of time. Even, you know, at least, you know, if I'm taking you out of lineup, you know right hand, like, I'm not playing. But when I take away your minutes and you just sitting there on, yeah, it does do something to you, do something to your psyche.
I found an article I wrote in February of 2020. So this was roughly a month, a little bit more than a month, after John Hines took over for Peter Laviolette. And here's a quote from John Hines. You've got to earn your ice time, and you've got to keep your ice time. That's the only way to eliminate complacency. We have to have a standard that we're going to play to. You need your top players to play at a high standard. They need to be guys that are driving your team. When your top players are playing the way they need to play, they get 20 minutes of ice. But if your top players aren't playing as well as they need to, or at the level they need to, you can keep playing them, but they're not going to produce offense.
And that never came into play last year with Coach Bruno.
It absolutely did not.
And he did not. That's something you got to do on the front end. It's harder to come back around and try to do it the next following year. It can happen, but it's a little bit harder to do on the back end. If you do it on the front end, let these guys know that, hey, listen, this is a standard of play that we got to have. I can't bench you, nor do I want to bench you, but I am going to take away your minutes. And until you either buy into what we're doing or you start to play better, the minutes are going to stay the same. Hines said it. Earn your minutes. They're not giving it to you. And I'm not sure that Coach Bruno can do that coming back around. Now, I do believe they probably got an understanding now. These guys that we talked about, you know, periodically throughout the season, and we know who they are, the veteran guys that they brought in or the veteran guys that were here. I'm sure in this offseason, in these meetings, they've gotten an understanding of what they are looking for. So when they come into this season, there's no ambiguity about it. This is what I'm looking for, and if you don't give me this, this is what will happen. I can explain that to you now.
I'm thinking of it like if you're a parent and you have a certain set of rules, maybe you're a bit of you have a relaxed attitude about certain things, and then all of a sudden you decide to become a disciplinarian. And be like, all right, you can't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. Well, do you think your child is going to listen?
No.
They're going to like, sure, Dad. Yeah, okay, cool, whatever. Like, I'm wondering if that is an issue, right? Like, I'm wondering if Brunette takes a harder approach on these players, if they're just going to be like, what's this guy's deal?
Yeah, the more and more I think about it, I think Barry not only was talking about the guys on the ice, the guys in the locker room, when he talked about the paralyzing, I think he was talking about the coaching staff as well.
Interesting.
Because it paralyzed what they wanted to do or how they wanted to do it, because you brought these three guys in and it's not working. So it's like, do I say something to them? Do I go hard on them or do I not? Do I let the other guys in the locker room do it? And I'm not saying that he just completely turned his back and walked away. I'm sure he addressed some things. But your own GM said that the circumstances last season, this past season, paralyzed the ability to have that leadership. Probably not completely like for the whole season, but the majority of the season, I think that was paralyzed. And I don't think he was just talking about the players. I think he was talking about the coaching staff as well.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. But coming up next, buried within that opening statement, which lasted, again, roughly 30 minutes, Trotz did say something that caught my attention. And I think that Derek Mason is the best person, at least in this room, equipped to answer a question that I have about the dynamics of a team. And we'll get to that next. 615-737-1025. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, The Game.
To me, we got good players, we got good people. We didn't miss on that at all. Okay? Expectations are very high. There is some I'll say, a weight with those expectations. I think the expectations probably were a little bit unrealistic. And I sort of tried to say that, but everybody was really excited, and I understand why. But the reality is that we got off to a poor start. Some of those acquisitions, I want to say, in our leadership sort of paralyzed each other a little bit. They looked at each other with admiration. Guys looking at Steven Stamkos and Marchessault and Shea and going, hey, those are really good players, and we're, you know, and our guys are on the flip side, Stammer and those guys, the respect they have for Yost and O'Reilly and that. And I think we got paralyzed a little bit waiting for, you know, where do I fit? How's it going to happen? And I think I sort of mentioned that with legacy players, it does take longer, and the respect that those players have for each other says a lot. A lot of people question how our dressing room was. We've got great guys in our dressing room. They really get along really well. I would say they have a really good dressing room. We have really good guys, and sometimes maybe too nice. Sometimes you don't want to step on each other's toes. So we've had that conversation a little bit.
That was Barry Trotz yesterday during his opening statement at his season-ending news conference. Derek Mason, Adam Vinken, Willie Dunick out today. And that stuck out to me, Derek, mm-hmm. about when Barry Trotz used the word paralyzed, uh-huh. when we were listening to it live, my ears perked up because I thought that was an interesting choice of words. And talking about the dressing room, and I believe you and Willie used the term mutual admiration. Mm-hmm. Maybe guys were a little bit too deferential to each other. And it got me thinking about this. And look, Derek, you have spent, I don't have to tell you this, you lived it. You spent the majority of your life in locker rooms. Mm-hmm. At the collegiate level, at the professional level.
High school level.
At the high school level. You are a veteran of locker rooms. But I'm just going to name you some of the players that you shared locker rooms with in the NFL. And there were a lot of them, but there were five that stuck out to me. Eddie George, mm-hmm. Steve McNair, Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, Terrell Suggs, you know, Titans, no pun intended, of the game of football. And the question I have for you, Derek, as it relates to the Predators and what we just heard from Barry Trotz, does there need to be healthy tension in the locker room in order for a team to be successful?
I think there needs to be, because healthy tension brings about competitiveness, I think, high-level competitiveness. See, I think it works different in hockey than it does in football. I mean, I was thinking about this over the break because, listen, you know, Ray and Ed, those and Suggs, mainly Ray and Ed, those were stalwarts on the defensive side. So those guys can be a certain way with the defensive guys. They can be that way, well, but they can be that way to a defensive guy. Cause it's more like it's us. And then say on the offense, myself, Jonathan Ogden, you know, Eddie George, Steve McNair. We can be a certain way with the offense, and you never see it on the defensive side of the ball. You don't get that. Hockey and basketball, you don't get that, because the same people that's playing defense is playing offense.
Right.
You know, so it's like, do I say something now? It seems like basketball, they're more so in your face. That's more of an alpha. That's an alpha sport too, because it's because everybody's really – it's one-on-one. So we're competing every time I come down the court. So there's always – they have that mentality. And I wonder – and I'm sure hockey has it on the ice, but do you have it in your locker room? Can you – because it's not like me jumping on my guy, like my guy to play on the offensive side of the ball, because I could jump on my guy. But I'm not going to say anything to the defensive guy, because they're doing their whole thing. Now, if the whole team's not playing well, then okay, we can say something as a group, but pertaining to the team. But when the defense isn't playing well, Derek doesn't say, y'all need to get y'all stuff together. That's where Ray Lewis and Ed Reed come. Or on the offensive side, we're not doing well. Yeah, those guys may say something to me, like, man, we need to pick this up. How do we do this? But it's up to me. It's up to Eddie. It's up to Steve to take care of the offensive side of the ball. But if we need to address the whole team, we can. Is that the same way? Do you have that same sort of eagerness or sort of openness to criticize somebody playing both sides of the ball because or both sides of the ice. Because you may be doing great on the offensive side, but then not so great on the defensive side, but I can't take you out or I can't do this because we need you offensively, so I can't say too much to you.
You're right about the differences. I think it was last year at some point Jeffrey Simmons said something about the quarterbacks getting sacked or something like that, and we were just kind of like, that's weird. Like, he should probably focus on controlling the defensive side of the ball. But nevertheless, I imagine, though, that you and your fellow receivers, if a receiver that you were playing with needed a kick in the butt, you were going to give it to him.
Yeah.
And it wasn't going to be personal. You weren't going to say something to scar him emotionally. But if he needed a swift kick in the rear end, you were going to give it to him. And look, when the Predators added these players in free agency, and you could even include the first crop of free agents that Barry Trotz brought in. You know, Roman Josi has been the captain of the Predators for several years. Ryan O'Reilly has been a captain in the NHL. Steven Stamkos has been a captain in the NHL. Before he was traded, Ryan McDonagh has been a captain in the NHL. Jonathan Marchessault has won a Conn Smythe Trophy as playoff MVP. So has Ryan O'Reilly. Like, I understand, you know, these guys admire each other's games. They, even when they weren't playing with each other, they watched the game. I get that. But I do think that based on what Barry Trotz said, you know, I do think this team needs more of an edge. And maybe now that they've gotten to know each other, they've been through a full season together, maybe it'll be easier for them to say the hard things. And I think that's why Jonathan Marchessault's comments at the end of the season struck a nerve with a lot of people, because the Predators, you know, haven't had a lot of players who were that outspoken. And Marchessault, that's been his personality, I assume, throughout his whole life. But as far as I've known watching him in the NHL, that's the type of player he is. But I do think, you know, I'm wondering, for example, a player like Tommy Novak. Tommy Novak, who, of course, isn't here anymore. But Tommy Novak, he comes in last season, or this season, at the beginning of this season, and he is expected to be the second line center. On one wing, he has one of the greatest goal scorers of his generation. On the other wing, he has a player who, through grit and determination, carved out an excellent career for himself, was coming off of his first 40-goal season, and a couple of years ago was playoff MVP. And I'm wondering if Tommy Novak was a bit starstruck by playing with those two. And I get it to a degree, but you can't let that get in the way of being successful. So I am wondering if now that these players have grown more comfortable with each other and have gotten to know each other, that maybe more hard conversations can be had and that healthy tension, that competitive fire can be more prevalent in the dressing room.
I don't even think it's because, listen, these are not hard conversations to truly have in a locker room that is built on a common shared goal, and that is winning. So I've found that the best locker rooms are locker rooms that you don't have to have hard conversations. They're just conversations, because we all are headed down the same sort of path. We all want the same things. I know that the other things, you know, contracts and stuff like that, they eventually come into play. But what is our goal? Our goal is to win a Super Bowl. We all got that in common. And win a Stanley Cup for hockey guys. You all have that in common. But it's not difficult for guys in the locker room that I have, because here's the thing. Because it's almost like these factions within a building, within a team. And it's not like factions that are cliquish or factions that are going to, you know, cause turmoil within a locker room. It's factions, you know, because of positions, receivers, offensive line, quarterback, running back, you know, guys like that. So when I'm in my receiver room, they're not hard conversations. Why? Because I spend my time with these guys. We get to know each other. We get to hang out. I know their families. They know mine. So there's a level of trust built. So we don't, they're not called hard conversations. It's just, dude, you need to start doing what you need to do, man. You know, either you're going to start doing it or you're not going to play. That's just the way it is. So those conversations aren't hard. I don't know if it's like that in a hockey locker room, because maybe like basketball, all of them meet together. And it's harder to sort of build, even though they seem like they got a great friendship in locker room, but it's harder to sort of, because I can take my three guys and be like, listen, y'all, we need to get our stuff together. But trying to take 23 guys, that may be a little bit different. Some guys may not feel comfortable with talking to, you know, or sort of being a leader of that many guys. It's a lot easier for guys on football teams to do it because we're all broken up. But then when we come together, it's always one or two voices amongst the other leaders.
Again, if the Predators want to hire Patches O'Houlihan,
start throwing monkey wrenches
right.
at
if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. If they need to get a little meaner, I'm okay with that. I do think that that healthy tension. And look, I spent most of my days for more than 7 years in that Predators dressing room covering this team. And when you're in the dressing room, you can get a sense of that dynamic. And I think the best dressing rooms, the ones that I was in covering the Predators, were the ones where you could sense that healthy tension, where maybe guys weren't getting along every day, but they pushed themselves to be better on the ice. So I do think that would be one way to go about it. 615-737-1025. I'm delaying here because David is on the phone, and I want to see if this caller wants to get in on this conversation before we go to break. Let's see. David, what's the word, man? Does he want to talk? Okay, let's go. Let's do it.
We got him.
Let's go. Who is it? David is on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. David, right under the wire, my friend. Thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Yeah, thanks for the quick comment. This was one of my major concerns, I think, when they elevated Brunette up to this league was his ability to be able to work with more veteran players. I think he was good, you know, with the more junior players, but I'm just curious. I agree. I think the players themselves need to coach themselves up, but how can Trotz get in, work with Brunette and help him understand that, hey, you got this unique situation with veterans. But anyway, I'll hang up and listen. Thanks. Enjoy your show.
Thank you for the call. How about
thank you, David.
We appreciate the call. Maybe we can answer that question after we talked to Teron Davenport, because we had to bump Teron yesterday for Barry Trotz's news conference. So Teron Davenport, ESPN, NFL Nation Titans reporter, will join us next. But it's a good question there from David, and we'll get back to it. But Teron Davenport coming up next, 615-737-1025. Derek Mason, Adam Bingen, 1025-1063, The Game.